Our scripture reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 1 and 2, and then 9 through 16. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. And starting at verse 9, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Okay, I love to eat. I will eat most anything, and of course that means what would be the best place to go if you'll eat most anything? A buffet. Okay, a buffet. What? Oh, yeah. Okay, now those are the two things. That's in my notes, but I walked away from my notes. The two best things are church potlucks and buffets. And we're headed to Rockford around noon yesterday, and at our first thought, one of our favorite places, which was close to our home, our condo in Loves Park, but we did sell it, was RBI's, a little restaurant there near where we are, and we were headed to that, and Noah's driving by Old Country Buffet, and so we had to go around, we had gone kind of past it, had to go around the block, and we came back, and so we did Old Country Buffet yesterday, and that's great. I say I'll eat almost anything. Liver and onions is off my list, though. And the other thing that I find a little troublesome, the Korean extension of ABC has meals, I think, they do their classes all day Sunday. They have the church and then a whole bunch of classes, and all day Monday, and they have meals both days. And they invite the staff, Mondays we would be there, they invite the staff to come on in and eat. And that's great. Tons and tons and tons of rice, and so if you like rice, you're good on that one. But some of the food is, let's just say, interesting. And I tried most everything, and I was okay with most everything, except... That's Mexico. It's Mexico. I'm using up my time already, aren't I? I haven't even started. Squid. There's these long, stringy, tentacled things, and you're supposed to eat that and enjoy that. Oh, try it. No. Oh, try it. No, I didn't. Now, I tried a lot of the stuff in the spices, the cumin and all that other Asian stuff is kind of interesting, but and I ate most of it, and most of it was very, very good, sometimes leaving a little more burning in sensation in my throat than I'm used to, but I did not eat the squid. Anyway. All right. The variety of eating. The more choices, the better, and I love Old Country Buffet. There's a Golden Corral down there near us, but that's not the same. It's close, but it's not the same. I don't know. It's just not the same. The salads, the meat dishes, the vegetables, the fruit, the desserts. Oh, boy, that's what you call eating, right, Russ? That's eating. Okay. I have been, over the last several years, studying the book of Hebrews a little bit more. It started out... because I was asked to teach the class, the book of Hebrews, at Rock River Christian College twice. And so in studying it for that, and now on my agenda in Atlanta is a course called Leviticus and Hebrews. So in studying the book of Hebrews for those occasions, and actually I've even started another book writing project. The last day I was in my office, I wrote the introduction and the preface to my Leviticus and Hebrews book. It may not get done, I don't know, it may or may not get done by January when I need it. But anyway, I have found that the book of Hebrews is a spiritual food buffet. Delicious and wonderful in a variety of things. Health experts say if you eat a variety of foods, it kind of doesn't matter specifically what you eat. I'm talking to Weight Watcher people, aren't I? And I know nothing about that. I'll plead ignorance. If you eat a variety of kinds of foods, the more variety you eat, and the more likely you'll cover all the vitamins and proteins and minerals necessary in the variety. If you eat all of this or only all of that, you're going to leave out something. So, a variety of foods. We will find a variety of spiritual food in the book of Hebrews. So, when Michael said a few months ago, so what's your theme? I don't know what my theme is other than there's a wonderful variety of spiritual food in the book of Hebrews. And if you read that, as I have been doing, and I will continue to do as I work on my book project and teach it a few times, you will find a great spiritual buffet and nourishment. So it is my hope and prayer that you'll be fed that spiritual food to energize you to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with all your heart and soul. All right, the first stop in the buffet. Salad bar. Potato salad, macaroni salad, pasta salad, coleslaw, seafood salad, cottage cheese. But you know what? There is always the biggest bowl of lettuce. Lettuce, and you can add other things to it, the carrots and the radishes and the onions and the cucumbers and so on. But there's always lots and lots and lots of lettuce. So we're going to study the lettuce in Hebrews. Pun intended. Okay, the writer of Hebrews, and I love to tease by saying, well, first of all, nobody knows who the writer is. And Origen, at about 150 AD, said, God only knows, and we'll leave it at that, and that's probably where we should leave it. But a whole variety of suggestions. Yeah, Apostle Paul has suggested that. I don't think it was him. And my personal favorite suggestion, and it's Priscilla, the only book written by a woman. That's my personal favorite suggestion. And so I'll just say writer, but if I slip and say he or she, that'll cover anybody else along the way. The writer, I believe, writing to Christians in the city of Rome. In around the early 60s AD, and there was a psychotic, crazy emperor in the city by the name of Nero. Crazy, crazy, crazy guy. And one of his passions, and he picked up on it along the way because he could blame them for it, was Christians, whatever I can do to Christians, I'm going to do it. Persecute, punish, put to death. And so a lot of the lions' activities in the Colosseum were Nero, and it was carried on by others after him, but he kind of got that whole thing started. So the writer writing to Christians in Rome, and keep that in mind as he, she says whatever that is to be said here. All right. Let's begin with our lettuce and go to chapter 4 where Nola was in the reading. I'll be kind of jumping around, but it'll be only asking you to look at the book of Hebrews. I may mention a couple others along the way, but you'll need to find the book of Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, and let's find some lettuce. Verse 1, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Let us be careful. The Greek word phobeomai, phobia, hear that, phobeomai, phobia, as a sense of fear. Be afraid of falling short. There is something to be afraid of there. Verse 11, still chapter 4, verse 11. Let us Therefore, make every effort to enter that rest. I'm going to talk some more about the rest later, but let us make every effort. The Greek there is spoudazo, eager, doing your best, hurrying. Michael's sermon on Thursday night was slow down. This verb is hurry up. Hurry up to be sure you enter that rest. Verse 14. Let us, since we have a high priest who ascended into heaven, Jesus Christ, Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Greek there is krateo. Grab, seize, arrest. We like to watch the police shows. And I don't know whether I should confess this or not, but again, I'm leaving tomorrow. Dog the Bounty Hunter is one of my favorite shows. And it's so odd, the bounty hunter, and he does kind of semi-violent things, and his language is occasionally a little spicy, but there's always a prayer in the show. They pray before they go out to find the person, and they pray at the end of the whole time. And then they counsel the person that usually it's a drug kind of a thing. Anyway, seize and arrest. He enjoys the moment of actually grabbing the person that they're going after. Seizing and arresting. And that's not like, come on. No, it's, I got you right now. And that's when he's most angry. And he calms down after he's got the person subdued in cuffs and all that sort of stuff. But it's, grab, let us hold firmly. It's not like, okay, I'll hold firmly. No, it's hold, grab, seize, hold. That's what it is. And hold firmly the faith we profess. Hold firmly. Verse 16. Let us approach the throne of grace because of our high priest, Jesus Christ. Let us approach. Don't be timid. You're allowed to do that. It's okay because of Christ. You can approach the holy God of heaven. Yeah, it's all right. It's fine. Some more let us. Chapter 6 as 1, and then we're going to go to chapter 10. Chapter 6 as 1, the very first verse of chapter 6. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ. Greek there is aphiemi, means forget, abandon. Forget about it. Abandon it. Give it up. It's done. The elementary stuff. Start going to the deeper. Don't just be satisfied. Go on to the deeper stuff. Chapter 10 has a whole bunch. That was my, would have been my second choice for the scripture reading. Chapter 10, start with verse 22. And there's a whole bunch of them there, a whole bunch of lettuce. Again, there's a whole bunch of lettuce at the salad bar. Verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Same point. If you've accepted Christ, you're clean, go to God. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. That's that same hold on tightly, seize and arrest kind of thing. Verse 25, not giving up meeting together, some in the habit of doing, encouraging one another, and all the more. Actually, the New International, as I have it, I have today's NIV. It is let us in a lot of versions right there. Let us not give up meeting together. So how do you feel about going to church? Oh, this is a place to bring in the background. You're a Christian in Rome with Nero as the emperor. He finds out about your meeting. What's he going to do? He's got some cat food there. I don't want to be cat food. Maybe I don't want to go to the meeting. Not a problem in free and open America. No kitty cats at the door, I don't think. Some flies in the building. Anyway, no cats at the door. But the writer, she says to the people listening, reading, don't be afraid. Don't give up meeting together. Hold on to that. Do continue to do that. Trust that you will be fine because you're worshiping God. Don't give up that because it encourages one another. And let us not give up, and let us encourage one another. It's also in, not in the translation as I have it, but there it is. And I'm going to quickly go to chapter 12 for a couple more. Chapter 12. Hebrews, after the Hall of Fame of Faith in chapter 11, Chapter 12, the first couple verses have some more lettuce. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Stopping for a moment before I get to the next one. I was never really good at this, but I know athlete people, and Chris said this, and Todd and others can attest to that, Carson can attest to that, for running exercise and practice and endurance and strengthening of the legs, there is the weight kind of things you can do, ankle weight things. I don't even know how they do that anymore. Used to be metal pieces wrapped in this cloth thing and a Velcro-y thing around there. But you do that around your ankles, and you run your sprints. You run your sprints as hard as you can because, hey, how good does that feel when you take that thing off? You can fly. And that's exactly, get rid of all the sin that slows you down so you, when you're only running like this. You want to run as fast as you can. I dare not do that. I'll be out of breath, and I'm too old for all those sort of things. But you get the idea. That's the imagery. Get rid of the stuff that slows you down. And then the next thing in verse 1, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It's a track meet analogy. Don't just finish the race, run to win the race. It may or may not be that many people will actually win, but run as if you were the only one that will win. And then verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, actually, in other translations. The Greek, aphorao, perceive. Fix our eyes on Jesus. My mind, Jesus in there. Close my mind, I can focus. What I know of Jesus, wonder worker, wonderful, master teacher, my Savior, perceive, focus on Jesus. Let us focus on Jesus. That's what we need to do. All right. Lots of stuff to chew on. You have to chew on the lettuce. Lots of stuff to chew on. Let's move on to the next part. What's the main course? The main course at the buffet. Beef, ham, chicken, turkey, fish, and so on and so on and so on. That's the tough protein stuff. But you need the protein to build muscle tissue, to build strong organs, ligaments, and so on like that. You need the protein. You must have that. So, Hebrews has commands. Instead of the let us stuff sounds to me like suggestions. Those are good suggestions. Chew on them, think about them, work that out. But when it comes to a command, it's not like, let's do this. It's now do or don't. It's a little stronger in the command imperative sense. Let's find some imperatives in Hebrews. Back to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. It's worded, we must pay, in, again, the translation that I have. It actually is a command in the Greek. The command is, don't drift away. If you've anchored your boat at the dock, stay there. Don't drift away. A lot of times I can feel myself drifting. Am I anchored? I got to pull myself back. I don't want to drift away. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. There it is again, but this is the command form of the same verb. Instead of let's perceive Jesus and fix our mind, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Get him there and work it over in your mind. And the only way to get him there is to read and study and learn about him. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will help a lot on that one. Read and know Jesus, and then your thoughts need to be there. That's a command. That's the tougher stuff. That's not like, well, if you want to, do it. 3:8 in the quoting from the Psalms, do not harden your hearts. Another don't. Commands are do things, and commands are also don't do things. That's a don't harden your heart. Your mother might say, don't. Or if you're a mother, you know how that goes. Don't do this, don't do this, and so on and so on. Don't harden your hearts. A softened heart can receive the seed and the spirit and the prompting of the Lord. A softened heart can. A hard heart, nothing's going to get... Red clay in Georgia. They don't got normal dirt. How do you plant a flower and I'm off the sub. I'm ADD. At least when I'm doing this. And I don't even know where I'm going to be when I come back to this. But the point is, they got red dirt. And when it rains a little, and then you get our 95 degrees and sunny, it is now pottery that you're walking on. Nothing gets in, nothing can grow, and you throw some seed out there, it's going to stay there, blow away, or the birds will eat it, nothing's going to happen. You got to dig out stuff and throw in potting soil, and that one little spot might grow. That's it. That's how you get flowers or gardens down there. So don't harden your heart. Nothing's going to grow in a hardened heart. 3:12. See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. That's in a command form also. Once again, working on your heart, don't turn your heart away from God. 10:32. Yes, 10:32. Writer speaking to Christians in Rome, probably worried about Nero and all that stuff again. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light. That's kind of what I was saying in Sunday school class this morning. We need to have our memories jolted and jogged a lot more than they already are. Remember the day when you accepted Jesus? Do you remember that day? Do you remember that day? You should. Every year you should celebrate that day. Saying to the readers, remember how wonderful you felt the light had come on. The darkness was gone. Remember that? Yeah, there's Nero. But remember that day? That should carry you above and beyond and over and through all the Nero junk. And it was. It was worse than that even. Okay, remember that. So he said, I admire you, she was saying, suffering for family and friends because of Christ. 10:35, don't throw away your confidence. I'm just going to go on and get a little quicker here. 12:7, another one. Endure hardship. Oh, do I get it? That's a tough one. Telling them, ordering them, there's your tough protein to chew on. Endure hardship as discipline. I don't like discipline. I don't want hardship. And I got to do it. Harder to chew. Harder to swallow that one. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. There's a whole bunch in that section. I can say 12 for that matter. Strengthen your feeble arms. 12, 13. Make level paths for your feet. 12, 14. Make every effort, this is a tough one, make every effort to live in peace with everyone. There's always one or several people you have a little trouble living in peace with. Everyone. 15, see to it no one falls short. See to it no one is sexually immoral. Several commands. That's enough meat. That's enough of that. We got to other things. A variety of food. How about the vitamins and minerals? You should eat your veggies and fruit. That's where your vitamins and minerals are. And some of them taste... Oh, I got to eat Brussels sprouts yesterday. That's a good thing. Noel wouldn't say it was a good thing. I like Brussels sprouts! And I suppose they have some strange stuff that is actually good for me. But that's okay. I like it. If it's good for me, all the better. Brussels sprouts. All right, sometimes it might taste a little different and be a little bit tough to swallow. I think probably the toughest thing for Christians in the vitamins and tough to swallow is confession of sin. I read 12:1 already, but I'll do that one again. Surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. First, you have to look at yourself in the spiritual mirror and see the sin that is there. It's there. It's there. Can't put makeup on over it, can't wash it off. It's there. Look and see that, and somehow get a hold of that and throw that away. I am a sinner. That's a tough thing for anybody to say and feel. That might be the toughest pill of all to swallow, but the vitamin mineral benefit of that is incredible. I am a sinner, dropping me to my knees before the Almighty Holy God. Yeah, I need to do that. Spiritual food. Nourishment right there. 1 John 1:9 would be another one on confess your sins and he is faithful and just to forgive. Oh God, please forgive me. The Old Testament prophets, if I wanted to bring in some of that, Hosea 6:14, Joel 2, return to the Lord, confess your sins. It's a theme of the Word of God. And on we go. I know it's tough. Yeah, it's tough. Okay, if there was kids at the meal with you, when can I go get dessert? And okay, at least you didn't say, oh, I better not say it. Michael knew what I was. Anyway, we've got our salad, we've done our meat, we've done our veggies. We're almost full. We got a little room left. And when I was a kid, I didn't think so much of this. I guess I didn't have enough exposure. But now I go to one place at the dessert area of Old Country every time, the carrot cake. I don't know why all of a sudden I tried it once. Oh, let me give this a try. Oh, is that wonderful. Carrot cake at Old Country Buffet. I don't know what they do, but it's wonderful. But I have to eat my other stuff first. But at the dessert bar, you get your custards and your pies and your cakes and your ice cream and your cookies and your carrot cake, on and on. And Hebrews says the dessert, after you've eaten all of that other stuff, the dessert is the rest. Now, we get to what Michael's message was on Thursday night. The rest. The rest. Chapter 4 is the rest chapter. Rest, nap, sleep, relax. I might have a long blink or two this afternoon, sleeping through the 3rd through 5th inning of the Cubs game. I'm sure it'll be boring at that point anyway. I didn't hear the magical word there. I can't even call for it, can I? So many preachers anymore call for that. And that's all right, but and even if I would, I guess I can't today. All right, anyhow, chapter 4. The word rest is katapausis in the Greek, and it means stopping, ceasing, finishing. For me, one of the greatest feelings is getting done with something. I don't start too many things unless I can see the end somewhere. And boy, when I get to the last word of my book about the Jewish holidays or my Samuel Kings and Chronicles book, and the last word is way off in the distance on my Leviticus and Hebrews book. I haven't even gotten chapter 1 started yet, but when I get done, and I enjoy what I'm doing right now, but I'm going to feel good when I'm done. Actually, oh, that's the other thing. I got to get done. I get to sing Beulah Land. All right, anyway, being done is a wonderful feeling. Stopping, ceasing, finishing, and rest. rest. Chapter 4, verse 1. I'll just kind of reread some of those points. Since the promise of entering his rest is there, be careful not to fall short of it. Verse 1. The promise is there. Verse 6. Since it still remains for some to enter the rest, some will enter the rest. And since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, we're talking a little bit about the children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea. Another story for another time. Chapter 4, verse 8. If Joshua had given them the real rest, God wouldn't have spoke about it anymore. So they had kind of a little taste of what rest was getting into Canaan. We have conquered the Canaanites. We're in the land and we can rest. Well, since they didn't conquer everybody, they really didn't have any rest, and that was their own fault. And so I could go on to the story on that one. But Joshua didn't quite get that accomplished. That was verse 8. Verse 9, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Are we the people of God or not? Yes, we are. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Verse 10, for those who enter God's rest also rest from their own work, just as God did from his. Verse 11, make every effort, work hard, hurry to enter the rest. Contradictory, oxymoron, or other kinds of bizarre words you might want to use. Hurry to the rest. And, of course, the prophets of the Old Testament talking about a wonderful time when the harvest will go on and on and on and on in Amos 9. There will be peace and relaxation under your own vine and fig tree, Micah 4, 3 through 5. Zephaniah 3:17. Zephaniah, yeah, how about that one? The Lord will quiet you and sing. Zechariah 14, 8 and 9, living water from the city of Jerusalem. Water is kind of equating with rest also. I'm going to take a drink of, okay, I'll demonstrate. That's just relaxing itself. Water. Wow. The wonderful kingdom of God, God here, pain, suffering, gone, life, eternal beauty forever. That's what I call rest. That's dessert. After you eat your vegetables, your salad, and your meat. So my advice is to listen to the book of Hebrews. Lots and lots of things to challenge and to feed you spiritually. And I think I'm just going to use the conclusion that the author of Hebrews has in chapter 13, which is the one that I haven't touched, a couple others maybe, I haven't touched yet. Back to the buffet, after you're done with the meal, what do? Well, you might take a nap, you might burp or something, I don't know. But anyway, here's our reflections. After all of that spiritual buffet, chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. 13:1, more to continue to do. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Verse 2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. 13:3. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison. No doubt the readers, listeners of this knew people in prison because of psychotic Nero. Feel for them. Honor the marriage bed, verse 4. Keep your lives free from money. Oh, wait, I didn't read that right, did I? From the love of money. Verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. One of the projects that's going on in the Church of God is gathering an encyclopedia of all of the 19th and 20th and now into the 21st century leaders of the Church of God who have brought the message to us, the message of truth that we have. Remember those who have done that. 13:9, do not be carried away with strange teachings. 13:15, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise.
I thought we weren't supposed to offer sacrifice anymore.
Yeah, you are. You don't kill an animal, but that's sacrifice. Yeah, no dead animals, but there's that. And there's others, and another matter for another time. 13:16, do not forget to do good and to share with others. More advice after your meal. 13:17, have confidence in your leaders. Submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as those who must give an account. And on we could go. So what I ask you to do is examine your own heart. Have you taken that vitamin pill of confession of sin? Maybe now's a good time to think about that one. I am a sinner, O Lord God. I don't like to say that, I don't like to think that, but it's true. Cleanse me. Have you drifted away? Find your way, pull the chain back and get yourself back to the dock, back to the source of true life, Jesus Christ. The rewards are great. That rest is outstanding. And the consequences of failing to do that are extreme and severe. Hebrews 10:26-27 says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, and I would say, hazard to say, we all have the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire. I don't want that. The desert rest awaits. Do you need to return to the Lord today? If you do, please do so. Give yourself to the Lord and say, I enjoy the spiritual buffet, Lord, and I am ready to be yours forever, and I can enjoy a wonderful, wonderful rest. Father God, words are inadequate to express how it feels so good to be here with the brothers and sisters of the Oregon Church of God, here to proclaim your word, here to share hugs, smiles, and well wishes. It's great to be here, Lord, and I thank you for the love that we feel and the sorrow again as we need to depart. I pray that your Spirit will cover all of us, whether we are here or in Georgia. I thank you, Lord, for everyone here. I pray that the words that we have heard you speak to us from the book of Hebrews will be that spiritual food buffet we need to energize us to serve you faithfully, and then we get dessert, the rest that you have promised. Thank you for that promise. Dismiss us then from this place with your blessing, and we thank you and rejoice forever in Jesus' name. Amen.